This is one I got from Linda Connor. She's a very prophetic lady, and sister, I've known her for some time. Let me read this to you. Here's what the Lord caused me to understand by a word of knowledge. He told me that the primary focus is not about submission. What she's talking about here is the head covering. Okay. Some of you say, the what? Yeah, the head covering. Okay. So let me read this to you. She said the primary focus of, and she's talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is not about submission. Although it does mention submission there, and it is part of it. The primary focus is about glory. He said that since a woman's glory is her hair, and it is given to her as a glorious covering, that when she ministers to the Lord, whether in prayer or exhibiting other spiritual gifts, she is to cover her glory out of a sense of respect for God. She is, in essence, submitting her fleshly glory and covering it up in His presence, and that this act is witnessed by the angelic beings. This shows the angelic beings that she is bowing herself down, showing reverence and respect for God's order of things, that being the man as the head, Christ as head of the man, and God being the head of Christ. The head covering is actually a sign in the spiritual realm that the woman has submitted to God's order. I agree with that. It says that very plainly in 1 Corinthians 11. When she submits to this, she is actually given authority in the heavenly realm. This is where the angels come in. This would be the authority of God to speak prophetically as well as any gifting that she has been given. If she does not cover her glory, then that automatically brings dishonor to her head, who is the man, since she is the glory of the man. He caused me to understand that what is not said is that she has brought dishonor to herself as well. Conversely, the man does not cover his head because he reflects the glory of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and 7 says that, by the way. He caused me to understand that the devil had come in and tweaked the emphasis that the church has put on this, and made us to think that the whole emphasis is on submission, when the emphasis is really how the woman can manifest God's glory, which must be expressed in divine order, just as Christ submitted himself to the Father, even though he is God. Rather than her own glory, and thus bringing honor to herself and her husband. It was meant as a positive thing for a woman to cover her head rather than a negative thing that it seems to have become. And finally, the point Paul is trying to make is that since the woman's hair is her glory, if she doesn't cover it up in the presence, then she is to be shaved, which is extremely shameful. He is drawing the parallel that it is extremely shameful for a woman to be uncovered in the presence of God Almighty. As I have practiced covering my hair this week, it has made me feel protected in a way that I have not known before. That's Linda Connor. Well, let's read that. You know, I'd like to give an in-depth teaching on this one day. I haven't done this in a long time. As a matter of fact, I think it's been a couple of years since I've really shared this. But let's just read this one time, since the Lord brought this up. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled dishonoreth her head. You understand this is a different word. Some translations do not differentiate the word here when the Greek word calls for two different words. One is called a covering and the other is called a veil. They're quite distinct. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled doth honor her head. And the reason I make this distinction is that some people say The covering is her hair. But he's differentiating between her hair and the veil. He's differentiating very plainly in the original text, okay? So let me read that again. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled dishonoreth her head. For it's one and the same thing as if she were shaven. It's just like she'd be shaven. It's just as dishonorable as what he's saying. And the reason we can prove that is because of the next couple of verses here. It says, for if a woman is not veiled, let her also be shorn. Let her also be shorn. She's not veiled, if she doesn't have a veil on when she's praying or prophesying, then let her also be shorn. Meaning, of course, the hair is another covering, very plainly another covering here. But if it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her also be veiled. For a man indeed ought not to have his head veiled, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. For neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have a sign of authority on her head, because of the angels. So this is a sign of authority. It's a sign of her husband's authority, right, on her head. Nevertheless, neither is the woman without the man, nor the man without the woman in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, so is the man also by the woman. But all things are of God. Judge ye in yourselves, is it seemly that a woman pray unto God unveiled? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a dishonor to him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. Notice in verse 13 that the woman needs to pray to God veiled. But nature itself teaches you that her hair is given her for a covering. It's a different word, you see. Many people have tried to make the hair the covering because poor translations did not translate these two words differently. But when you translate them differently, like the original, then you know very clearly that God wants two coverings on the woman. First, her hair is a covering, which is her glory, which needs to be covered by a veil. That's very plainly what it's saying here. But if any man seemeth to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So the churches were in pretty much agreement on this, folks. I know they're not today. Some of that's because of poor translation, and some of it's because of vanity, and some of it because there's no submission. But there's lots of reasons why it's not happening. But I tell you what, we're coming back to the time when the Lord is going to expect us to obey His Word. Can't you imagine? You know, now we don't have to understand why God demands these things, do we? If you had to understand it, you would be in idolatry with your own understanding. Who are we? What kind of understanding do we have compared to the depth of the great wisdom of God, you know? If He says it, we just ought to obey it. I mean, we don't have to understand it. I mean, matter of fact, I'll tell you this. If you wait to understand something before you obey it, you'll never understand it. God doesn't give understanding to people like that. So anyway, I think that's a good point. Thank you, Linda, for making that point. And I know that a few of you out there are probably obeying this, you know, as far as covering your head when you're praying or prophesying. People ask, well, does that mean when I'm just praying in my mind? Well, actually, it doesn't say it in the text, but it says praying or prophesying, and it is talking about in the church, you know, in verse 16. They don't have any other custom in the church, you know, but that. But I know some of you may have a difference of opinion there, and that's fine. I wouldn't argue with you over it at all. I suspect that it's talking about speaking out loud, because the Bible says let the women keep silence in the churches. But on the other hand, it says that they can pray and prophesy if they have their head covered. It seems like if they do speak, God wants this veil upon their covering, which is their hair, in order to speak in the church. And, you know, I understand parts of it. I mean, I'm looking at it. He gives you the reasons there. But what I don't understand is not important to me. You know, I just feel like we ought to obey no matter what. You know, again, I'm not going to wait till I understand it to obey. But many people try to reason out of it and, you know, make it easy on the ladies and so on and so forth. But you know what, folks? The Lord's going to step on all of our vanity, isn't he? And I mean, before it's over, he's going to humble us. This old flesh, it's very important to this old flesh how it's seen by other men and so on and so forth. And some things he commands us to do are very humbling. But, hey, who are we living for, right? Let's do what's important to God.